That's right. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. It's Monday, which means it's time for Oh Snap with Brett Goode. We have the Packers long snapper on the phone with us this morning. And Brett, last night the Packers lost to the New York Giants 38-10 on Sunday evening. Did the lopsided score catch you by surprise?
Yeah, it was, you know, I think the hardest thing to swallow is just, you know, going out there and it being an embarrassing performance by us and letting them kind of dictate the whole game. They controlled the offensive line, the defensive line, you know, they controlled all the special teams and same thing with, you know, their secondary and their receivers and their running game. So it's just, it's kind of a one-sided affair, and we didn't play our style of football and we kind of let them control the whole game.
Sunday's loss brings to the end a five-game winning streak by the Packers. What does this do to the team's momentum?
It didn't do a whole lot to our momentum. It just lets us know we got to go back to the drawing board and we got to get better. We know where we got to improve and we got to keep moving forward in the right direction. Right now, the big key is taking care of our division. We've got four division games left, and we kind of still control our own destiny. We take care of our division, get into the playoffs, we'll have a shot.
Well, let's throw out a hypothetical situation here, and I know sometimes that's dangerous, but what's it going to take to beat a team like the Giants if you happen to see them again in the playoffs?
I think overall, just being able to, you know, being able to perform on all sides and all aspects of the game. I think we got to be able to run the ball and pass it successfully on offense. We've got to be able to stop the run on defense. And, you know, our special teams has got to control the game better and control the field. And I think that's just one of those things that we've got to improve on, you know, this week going into the next game and just trying to get better each week. And, you know, definitely being able to improve each week, I think we'll have a good shot at beating them.
Right now, we're talking to Packers long snapper Brett Goode right here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Brett, the Packers would be a 5 seed in the playoffs and a wild card team if the season ended today. But as we all know, the season doesn't end today. So how does this team view the playoff picture right now?
I don't think anybody's really looking to the playoffs. I think everybody just, you know, kind of knows we control our own destiny and know that we have to control our division. You know, if we can go out there and sweep our division, and we've got a good chance to get a home playoff playoff game. And I think that's the biggest thing is just trying to take care of our division. That's all we can control.
You said it yourself. The next 3 games are against NFC North opponents, and 4 out of the next 5, starting with the Minnesota Vikings next week, next Sunday. Can you give us a little scouting report on the Vikings and what you might expect from them? I know you haven't dug into the game a whole lot yet, but what can you tell us at this early point?
I think everybody knows that they can definitely run the ball. I know that they've got a good returner on special teams, and they use him in a lot of key plays. And, you know, he's had a lot of explosive returns this year just from watching him on TV. So we'll have to dig into that film and, you know that our special teams guys come up big. And the same way with offense and defense. I think we got to go back and everybody's got to get better across the board. And it's definitely something that we can do.
Brett, I'd like our viewers to get to know you a little better from a personal standpoint. Can you give us a glimpse inside the life of Brett Goode away from the football field? What kind of things do you enjoy doing in your free time and during the off season?
Probably the most fun I have in the off season is playing the guitar around a campfire and with my cousin or some buddies. And so I'll always have fun doing that. I love to cook. And I mean, pretty much anything that I can do with friends or family in off season, you know, I'm definitely up for.
The guitar around a campfire. I'm gonna call Corona and try to get you in a commercial there. Seems like that would be something in a Corona commercial. But you know, John L. Smith was just fired as the coach at Arkansas. Do you have any preferences who the next head coach should be at Arkansas, your alma mater?
No, I think right now, but all the names that I hear, kind of, it's all speculation. But all the names that I kind of approve of, and it's going to come down to our players. You know, it's just like this year. You know, the coaches can only take us so far in college, and our players just quit, and they can't do that. They've got to have a fresh mind, and I think somebody's got to come in there with a lot of energy. We can't have a guy like we had with John L. or Bobby Petrino. We've got to have somebody come in there with some energy and kind of reignite the program.
All right. Well, when they hire one, maybe we'll get your thoughts then. But, you know, Brett, thanks for talking to us here on a Monday morning after a tough loss. I appreciate it, the early wake-up call after getting home late last night. And we'll talk to you next week after, hopefully, a Packers win.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good one.
And thank you. Brett Good, Packers long snapper, once again joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him, and thanks to... thanks to you for joining us this morning here at Railbird Central. So, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Joris, we're talking about the Packers. We're talking about a loss yesterday to the New York Giants. And I threw it up on the screen here. I have a new phone number. If you want to call into the show, we are airing live. If you're listening to the live version of the show and not the podcasted version, you could call area code 608-403-5255. Brand new call-in show if you want to call in. Vent your frustrations over the Packers' loss yesterday to the New York Giants. So feel free to call in if you want to talk some Packers football. We're going to be talking about it right now, breaking it down. Brett Good summed it up. I mean, the Packers lost yesterday. It didn't look pretty. And, they got beat by a real physical Giants team. The Giants, you know, figuratively punched the Packers in the mouth yesterday. And the Packers didn't respond. The good news is the season is far from over. In fact, I am kind of reminded of last year. Just 2011, you'll remember that the Packers beat the Giants on the road last year. And what was it like week 11? It was right around the same time of year, maybe not the exact same week, you know, week 11, week 12 last year. And then the Packers went on, of course, and lost to the Giants in the playoffs. So Packers have an opportunity to flip the script here. You know, they lose to the Giants in the regular season. They have an opportunity, perhaps, to rectify the situation and then beat the Giants in the playoffs. So, who knows what's going to happen, how it's all going to shake out. But, for any of the people on the edge of the window here, and I don't think there's too many people on suicide watch, but, chin up. I can easily, really, seriously, easily see the Packers going 5-0 to end the season here in their last five games, but four out of the next five against the NFC North, and winning out and really get some momentum, getting hot at the end of the season. We all know, that's what counts, getting hot at the end of the season. You see it almost every year. The team that gets hot at the end carries that momentum into the playoffs with them. So if they can do that, they'll be in good shape. But, I think the larger question coming away from this game is, can the Packers hang with physical teams? They lost to the Giants last night 38-10. Just really got blown out last night. And what was it? 31-10 at halftime, 31-7 at halftime. I mean, it wasn't even really close yesterday. And of course, the Packers lost earlier in the season, week one, to the San Francisco 49ers. Again, arguably one of the toughest, most physical teams in the NFL. Now, if they meet the Giants, if they meet the 49ers, can the Packers hang with those teams? Are the Packers physical enough to hang with those teams? There's kind of this, this thought that maybe they're a finesse team. Maybe the Packers rely too much on up-tempo offense and not enough of a smash-mouth defense. That's one thought. I'm not willing to go there yet, but I do understand the complaints and the concerns that might be the case with this team. Now, if all of a sudden they get on a five-game winning streak here and start turning things around, playing tough, getting some injured players back, maybe that could change. I see comment here from John on the live blog. Get Clay Matthews back in a different, and it's a different game. Well, yes and no. I mean, certainly having Clay Matthews back would help, but the Packers did lose by 28 points yesterday. Is Clay Matthews enough to make up a 28 point difference? You know, that's debatable. But I mean, can Clay Matthews be the difference in the long run? Certainly. And you know, he's not the only one. Obviously, he's the best player that missed the game, Clay Matthews. But I mean, all of a sudden they get Charles Woodson back at safety. I think you saw the defensive secondary exposed last night. The safety who's replaced Woodson, MD Jennings, having arguably his worst game of the year. Devon House looked terrible last night. Really, you know, he was up against Hakeem Nicks, and Eli Manning really went after Devon House last night. So, that was tough. DJ Protege asked on the live blog, why was Mike McCarthy not doing shorter routes? Wide receivers could not get open deep, and Rodgers was running for his life. You know, Mike McCarthy made fun of his own, not made fun, you know, criticizing his own play calling yesterday as being, you know, part of the reason the Packers couldn't win the game. They couldn't, you know, adjust to what the New York Giants were doing. The Giants brought the blueprint that every team knows now against the Packers. You rush four, and you don't hardly blitz anyone. You maybe bring the occasional blitz against the Packers to catch you by surprise, but I mean really no more than a handful of times a game. You basically rush four, and you play with two deep safeties in a shell-like look. And, you know, because Aaron Rodgers will beat you if you blitz. If you bring extra people, he's going to find that hole in the defense. So you don't blitz that much, and you play those safeties deep so you don't get beat deep. And yeah, I mean, really, some of it does come down to the wide receivers. I mean, it's a combination of everything. The wide receivers do have to get open on shorter routes, which they didn't do a great job of last night. But the offensive line also has to give Rodgers time. And the offensive line, of course, didn't look good last night. You know, and particularly, I mean, nobody played great last night. But the two guys playing in new positions, you know, since Bulaga's injury, Evan Dietrich-Smith at left guard, TJ Lang at right tackle, those kind of guys are like a little bit of fish out of water there. Evan Dietrich-Smith, I just don't think has it as a guard. Maybe he's a center only, perhaps. And certainly, I personally, I'll throw this out here. I would not be opposed to giving Don Barclay a shot ahead of Evan Dietrich-Smith. I mean, I'm not ready to cut Evan Dietrich-Smith. I mean, I don't think you accomplish anything by doing that. I think he deserves to be on the active roster and play as a backup. But, you know, I really think, you know, Don Barclay can't do any worse than Evan Dietrich-Smith. Is a rookie going to go through his share of rookie mistakes and lumps, take his lumps? Sure. But so is Evan Dietrich-Smith now in what, his fourth year in the NFL? He might be a center only, and that might be questionable at that. And TJ Lang is, you know, he's doing okay with his run blocking, I think, on the right side there. But boy, he'll have problems with elite pass rushers. I mean, there's plenty of tackles that do, but man, I mean, you could just tell that TJ Lang is way better off at guard. You know, they can probably get by with him at tackle, but boy, I mean, it would certainly be a much more ideal situation if Brian Bulaga was there at right tackle and Lang was there at left guard. So, you know, that's That's the nuts and bolts of it, I think. DJ Protege says Newhouse was beat almost every play. I won't go that far. I think Marshall Newhouse, certainly he got beat at a couple key moments there. He gave up the, you know, what was it, the strip sack by O.C. Umanyora. And, you know, it's that was certainly a big turning point. But, you know, Marshall Newhouse didn't look great by any means. But Marshall Newhouse has done a pretty good job on the year. And you know, obviously, you got to stick with him now. Alex asks, what's the deal with Sherrod anyway? Derek Sherrod on the pup list. I think the Packers have to make a choice this week on Derek Sherrod. I think the deadline is Wednesday. They have to do one of two things, basically. Add him to the 53-man roster. And if they do that, they have to make room for him. They'd have to cut somebody or place Derek Sherrod in injured reserve. I have to think they'll place Sherrod on injured reserve. You know, that's just my hunch. It sounds like he's not ready to come back, but who knows? Who knows? You know, maybe if they think Derek Sherrod is just a couple weeks away, you know, maybe maybe they decide they can get by for a few weeks without him, and maybe sometime in December he'll be ready. I don't know. Comment from Joe. Do you think the offense is starting to key in on Cobb too much? It's like he's the first read on every play, and opponents have picked up on that. Is losing Philbin bigger than we thought? Kind of two questions there. It does almost seem like the Packers all of a sudden perhaps going to Randall Cobb maybe too much. And I really think the return of Greg Jennings is going to help this team. And it looks like next week Greg Jennings will be back. I mean, it was almost, you know, he was questionable for this game. It looked like he might have been able to go, but the Packers playing it on the safe side, which I think was the right choice. And I think the Packers do perhaps maybe key in a little bit too much on Randall Cobb right now. And, you know, why didn't they attack the middle of the field a little bit more? Where Jermichael Finley, I thought, played well last night. He had the three catches and, you know, he made a couple nice receptions. He went up and grabbed the rebound there on that tip ball, which was really good. He ran over the cornerback. Who was that there? Amukamara. And really put his shoulder down and got physical, and that was good to see. But where was Jermichael Finley in the middle of the field? And perhaps maybe that's play calling there. So, I think there's a lot of things that can be done. And, certainly getting Greg Jennings back will help. And maybe, you know, they'll look to him a little bit more and away from Randall Cobb. And that'll help even things up. So, you know, a lot of different things going on. And, you know, a lot of times it's just simply that the offensive line breaking down. You know, Aaron Rodgers getting sacked 5 times yesterday. You know, the good news, I think one of the blue chip performances from last night was the performance of John Kuhn. And again, it's tough to find a blue chip performance in a loss like that. But, you know, after a guy who missed some time with a hamstring injury, he finally looked back and healthy last night. He did a great job with the ball in his hands, both from a receiving and a running standpoint. He was playing special teams on kick return. We're seeing the return of John Kuhn. So kudos to him. I think he did a good job last night. Jermichael Finley did a good job. Jordy Nelson, to an extent, of course, for at least the one big play, did a good job. So some of the skill players playing really well there, but offensive line looking really poor last night. On the defensive side of the football, let's talk about that now. The Giants, of course, ran the ball down the throat. And I think what I saw last night here, the Packers really do miss C.J. Wilson more than you think. You know, C.J. Wilson, not a guy who's, you know, a big name, doesn't get a lot of sacks, anything like that. But C.J. Wilson in the Packers' base 3-4 defense is really a good player. He can really stuff the run. And when the Packers do go to their base defense with him out of there, I tell you what, things are not looking good for Jarrell Worthy right now. He gets pushed around in the run game a lot. Maybe, perhaps, he has what it takes to play, you know, as a pass rusher. Even that isn't going the greatest for him. But, man, he really got pushed around last night once C.J. Wilson went out. And I'm wondering if maybe Mike Neal isn't a better option in the base defense. And, you know, neither of them are really that great of an option. The Packers kind of missing C.J. Wilson there. You know, if they were to miss him for a long time, that would not be a good thing. I think he did do a brief interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying he thinks he'll be okay. Has a sprained MCL, I think. You know, does that mean he can come back in a week? I'm not sure about that, but I don't think, you know, according to one interview at least, it doesn't look like it's season ending. But, you know, I think if they let, you know, come back and let the doctors look at it and maybe, you know, have an MRI, things could change. We kind of wait and see. But really, you know, without him out, with him out, the Packers had a tough time stuffing the run. You know, it's tough watching B.J. Raji be absent, too, from this Packers defense. You know, just not doing anything. You know, there's such a big difference between B.J. Raji in 2010, the Super Bowl season, to now. It's a big difference. You know, he was making such big plays in 2010, and now he's not. And that's a big difference, too. Of course, they missed the thumper at inside linebacker with Desmond Bishop. You know, I think they're playing smart with A.J. Hawk, but he's not a thumper. Brad Jones, while he's athletic, he's not a thumper. They miss that. They miss Desmond Bishop's physical presence. And like I said last night, the Packers' young defensive backfield came back to earth a little bit. And, you know, that can be a good thing because all of a sudden they were starting to get a lot of good press. You know, perhaps maybe their heads were getting a little bit too big. You know, Casey Hayward having 5 interceptions. And Casey Hayward didn't play terrible last night, but, you know, didn't make any plays. I thought Devon House really got picked on and he didn't show up. You know, he got penalized. He got beat by Hakeem Nicks. Terrible game from Devon House, terrible game from MD Jennings. So I think some of these young defensive backs got put in their place a little bit. And perhaps that's the wake-up for them. And you know, what happens in the future? Maybe Devon House, you know, he's going to have to fight to keep his job if and when Sam Shields returns. So, and that's a good thing for both of them, though. You know, competition brings out the best in everyone. We all know that, right? So, you know, that's they'll duke it out to see who plays in the future there. I mean, it's probably Devon House's job for the time being, just because, you know, they have nowhere to turn until Sam Shields comes back. But, you know, if and when he does, there'll be a fight there for playing time. And kind of the same thing at safety a little bit, too. What do the Packers do with Charles Woodson when he comes back? And there's kind of this thinking that Woodson will perhaps now play full-time safety, and the Packers will keep Casey Hayward at the slot position. And that might be the best choice, perhaps, I think. Unless, you know, Woodson, this time off really does him some good. I think that might be the correct choice, too, is to play him strictly at safety. You know, keep MD Jennings out of the game for the most part. And, you know, keep them, you know, confined to special teams, and Woodson will play safety. But, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe the Packers go back to Woodson as the slot, you know, nickelback. He certainly does help out with the run defense there. And that, you know, that can't be overlooked as well. You know, speaking of safeties, the same complaint I've had all season here. Is it time for Morgan Burnett to make a play yet? You know, how long are we going to wait on Morgan Burnett to make a play? He has been really, really good, surprisingly good, you know, stepping up and stuffing the run, I think. He's been more physical than I've ever expected out of Morgan Burnett. I expected more plays on the back end, though. Morgan Burnett doesn't have an interception this season, right? You would think almost one would happen by accident on a tip ball or something. But he's just not showing the presence to be around the football in the passing game. And I think that's hurting the Packers a little bit. They're missing these playmakers. And I've kind of compared A.J. Hawk and Morgan Burnett a little bit. They're both guys who can get out there and tackle a little bit, but neither of them can make the big play, not making interceptions, not making sacks, things like that. John says on the live blog, Burnett was supposed to be a ball hawk coming out of college. That's you know, I thought the same thing. I thought we'd see a little bit more out of him there, and the Packers could use some turnovers. You know, it seems like if they're not coming from Casey Hayward, they're not coming this year. You know, not that I expect Tremont Williams to have six interceptions every year, but Tremont Williams, you know, what did he had? He had a couple and right away at the beginning of the season. He's kind of gone through a drought now without an interception. Would like to see one from him. You know, would like to see one from Devon House. Would like to see one from Morgan Burnett. This team's got to find ways to, get interceptions. The bright spot on defense, like we saw the bright spot on offense from John Kuhn and JerMichael Finley. The bright spot on defense was the play of Desmond Moses. I thought he played well, especially for a young guy. Heck, he had the sack there while getting held at the same time. He had the tip pass that was could have been a touchdown, you know, happened in the red zone. Heck, I think it happened like by the 5-yard line. So Desmond Moses, I think, really playing well, playing physical, doing good. You know, not great. He's not Clay Matthews. But I think when Clay Matthews comes back, I think they can rotate Eric Walden and Desmond Moses and get the best out of both those guys. You know, Desmond Moses might be the second best outside linebacker on the team. So, Frank Zombo didn't really do a whole lot for the Packers. You know, Eric Walden didn't either last night. And not to say those guys haven't been good from time to time. But, I think your two best outside linebackers are Clay Matthews and Desmond Moses. And, we're kind of on the wait-and-see mode on Clay Matthews here and what he brings to the team. When will he return? I think, you know, Mike McCarthy just last night during his post-game press conference, he says he's not as far along as Greg Jennings. You're thinking that Greg Jennings is basically ready to return. I'd be willing to bet Greg Jennings plays against the Vikings this upcoming Sunday. As for Clay Matthews, we don't really know if that's going to happen. The Packers could sure use him because, you know, they're going to be playing a Vikings team here that, you know, while not great, it's a team with a winning record. And boy, if the Packers, you know, lose to the Vikings this week, they allow the Vikings to gain ground on them, and that wouldn't be good. So they could really use Clay Matthews back, but I don't know if they're going to get him this week. So the injury situation still kind of in a wait-and-see mode here on a lot of players. Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, Cedric Benson. But the good news is that Greg Jennings does appear that he is coming back. So that's good. Special teams last night, really nothing too notable. I suppose that the headline from special teams is Mason Crosby misses once again, albeit I think, you know, there aren't going to be too many calls for his head because it was from 55 yards and he did hit a good ball. That thing just missed. So And he did make a field goal later from shorter distance. So, you know, that's tough, you know, from 55 yards, but still not on track yet. So we kind of still play the wait and see game with Mason Crosby. They're not going to cut him this week, but he is still, you know, on the fence, you know, kind of still on the chopping block. And all of a sudden, if he were to go 0-for-2 next week, we could be back to the same point we were last week with Mason Crosby. But I thought Randall Cobb did well yesterday in the return game. I thought he did really good on punt returns, where he gained 20 yards on 2 returns. But, you know, just really grabbing the football, securing it, and getting yards when there wasn't a whole lot there, and he got what he could. But apart from that, you know, Tim Maste, for the first time, didn't put one inside the 20 last night. I mean, he was backed up quite a bit when he punted. So, I mean, that's a little bit of fault of the Packers offense that they couldn't get anything going and he would have to punt so deep in their own territory. You know, really nothing too great there from Tim Maste and the punt team. Just nothing really too much going for the Packers on special teams yesterday as well. Like I said, a lot of negative talk today. Of course, we highlighted John Kuhn and Desmond Moses for good games, but outside of them, a lot of negatives coming out of last night. But again, as we wrap up the show here, not everything's negative here for the Packers. There's a lot still ahead of them. The next 3 games, all against NFC North opponents, 4 out of the next 5 to end the season. I could easily see the Packers, going out and winning out from here, you know, winning 5 in a row, and that would be great momentum heading into the playoffs. And hopefully they get healthy. So there's a lot still to look forward to, but it does have to turn around now, and they need a win this week against the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, a good thing they get them at home. Coming back to Lambeau Field here after 2 in a row, on the road. So that'll be big, getting some home cooking here to end the season. DJ Protege says on the live blog here, interesting stat from ESPN. Rodgers was under duress, hit or sacked on 17 of his 33 dropbacks last night. Wow, that's not good. 17 times hit last night. Offensive line does have to do a better job. Gonna have to give, I think, TJ Lang some help out on the edge. And I know there were times where John Kuhn was out there helping him. You can't do it all the time, though. Sometimes these guys do have to win their one-on-one battle. So hopefully they just keep learning from their mistakes, and guys like Evan Dietrich, Smith, TJ Lang get better along with the rest of the offensive line. But, still a lot ahead of this Packers team here. As Mike McCarthy said, all their goals can still be attained. Packers can still win the division. They just got to win out here, win these NFC North games. They can still win the Super Bowl. And it starts by getting hot at the end of the season, and it's all ahead of them right now. So, we'll be continuing to look at the Vikings matchup later in this week, folks. Make sure to come back here on Wednesday. Of course, we'll have our weekly interview with Nathan Yonke. So look forward to that on Wednesday. Make sure to join us then, and join us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday live. Always podcasted as well. Check it out. We post every show here, right here at Cheesehead TV. It's also on iTunes, so make sure to check it out. That'll do it, folks. My name's Brian Carrivo on behalf of Jamie Jores. We'll see you later. Come back to Cheesehead TV for all your Packers news needs. I leave you today with a song called Tinderbox by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack. Go.